Amen. Amen. Lord, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you that we can come together and just praise you and worship you. And Lord, I just pray you just open your word to us, speak to us, and that really we have a better understanding of you and how you move through us and through the church. And Lord, I just pray, just come, Holy Spirit, come. Just fill this room. Just open our hearts to receive. And God, just anoint me that I just speak forth words of the Spirit and that are honoring to you. So, Lord, we just give this time to you, and we rejoice in you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's look here this morning. James 5:13 says this. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. And, you know, as we look at the scripture, we fully know, you know, here, that as you look at a verse, we always look at it in context. Okay, that's the first thing we do. What is the context of this verse? And a lot of verses in the scripture are great. I mean, they're all great. Not a lot. They're all great. But it's you can say one verse and preach a sermon on it. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, nothing at all. And I've done it too. But if we want to get the full meaning of that verse we preach, we look how the context, what was the poor, what was after, and then we have the broader picture of what the Lord is trying to do. And so definitely is with this section. And as a reminder, chapter 5. So we're at the end of James. We've been teaching through James. In fact, we only have two more messages in James. So just two more. So this is at the end of James. So the reason I bring it up is we look at these verses, James is assuming we know something. It's not cold. We're not hit. Okay, this is the first verse we ever saw in our life, and we're going to talk about it. Now, that's not what happened. He knows that we've read through James and came to this verse. So now we know something. And because we know what he has shown us, he's going to go a little deeper and show us something else based on what we know, okay? And so this is, we're starting here, and it's important to keep it in mind in this section right here. Now, the title to this message, Prayer of Faith, would be appropriate title. In fact, in my Bible, that breaks up this section, it says Prayer of Faith. Okay, so it's a good, it would be a good title. But, here's the but for me, but this section focuses on the healthy living through prayer. That's the focus of it. Okay, it's a, you know, prayer for it, but it's focusing on healthy living through prayer. So it's bringing into, making us think about our everyday life and how God moves within our life based on all the things we've read so far. So God is instructing, right here, God is instructing the church. Is any one of you suffering? Again, in chapter 5. It's like not all problems have gone away, okay? Chapter 5. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Let him pray. Now, it's good to look at this. Is any one of you suffering? The suffering here means, in the original language, what you have, the suffering, it means like external misfortunes. You know, like, are you suffering? Things coming on you in life, you know. So this suffering means external hardships. That's just something, the focus we get. In fact, the NIV accurately uses the word trouble, meaning here. He actually uses the word trouble. It says, if any of you in trouble. So he uses the word trouble, which is totally accurate, and it's focusing on troubles, external misfortunes, just like he talked about in the book of Job. Now, we see we've already talked about the book of Job and what he went through. This is what he's addressing. If you're suffering like Job, well, you pray. So he's putting that mindset in us. And so what he also is telling us right here, in response to our sufferings, and Job was a picture of suffering. Incredibly, things he didn't, wasn't his fault. The response to such evil, the response to such evil is not to counterattack. What's the typical thing? You counterattack. He goes, no, don't counterattack. Or it's not resignation. This is the way it is. But he says, you go to the Lord and you take that in prayer. Let him pray. Okay, you put it, and again, we know from what he's told us, you put it at the throne. I'm going to move. You put it at the throne. I got this. You're not alone. You're not alone. I got this. And so we know all of that, that's what he's communicating to us. We don't counterattack. We take it to the Lord in prayer. Really believing the Lord is really going to do something. It's not a resignation. All right. I just came to mind looking at that. If you can see, it says the very same things in Psalm 91, 14 through 15. God speaking to his people in Psalms 91, 14 through 15. God says, because he, the person on earth, us, because he holds me fast in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls on me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and I will honor him. Are you suffering? Come to me. Pray. Pray. See, it's all put together. All put together. See, there's a reason we pray. Now, so I should say, everybody will say, amen. Amen. Now, it also includes right in here, because it's the whole section is talking about prayer. So this also is prayer. It says this, is anyone cheerful, let him pray. Well, it says, let him sing praises. Well, pray, sing in praises. We used a couple I've talked about often, Pastor and Miss Milliken, and tell you a little story. Pastor and Miss Milliken, 50 years in the Congo, and a just unbelievable couple. You know, they've gone to be with the Lord. And I remember they would come and they prayed all the time. And they prayed all the time. But what they do, which really threw me off, is they would sing. They would sing. Let's say grace. Okay, I hold hands, you know, and I didn't know what I was saying. And they would sing grace. And I thought, whoa. Whoa, that's something different, you know. And so, then just break into song, you know, the Lord, you know, and then specific. And I'm thinking, this is a little different, you know, than what I knew. God bless the food. Amen. Yeah. And everybody's hungry. We're in a hurry. You know, holy cow. I mean, they kind of in a different realm. But anyway, this is what this is talking about. If you're cheerful, you should sing praise. And so the prayer, this is the singing of praises, is prayer. And it's just like it says in Philippians 4:4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. So you can see in the context with the rest of James how he's telling this whole encompassing view of prayer and our relationship with the Lord, how it functions. So this is how this functions, and so we can see that as he's closing out this book. Now what he does, he moves on, still talking to prayer, but he moves on from the external to more the internal within the church. He moves more to the internal. So he's talking about, hey, I've talked to you for 4.5 chapters, you know. I've been preaching to you. Now this is what you got. You got to take hold of this, and this is how you're supposed to live. So he says this. Are you ready? He says this. James 5:14. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call on the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Okay. So he's saying, No, there's a responsibility here. And as we understand, here we see the family relationship of the church body with each other and the elders. You see, that's what's happened right here in this verse. This is what happened. It's like, now here's the body. Here's the body. Any of you who's sick, you have a relationship with each other and a relationship to the elders. And if you're sick, you need to go in that body. You need to go to your elders. Anyone within the church body who is sick is encouraged to call on the elders to pray over them and anoint them with oil. I'm just being a little facetious. I mean, elders don't walk around and look for somebody. Hey, you need prayer or whatever. You know, you sick, I'll pray for you. Yeah, I think that's a good thing to do. If you're sick, I'll pray. But that's not what this is saying. You're sick, something goes on. The person in the congregation comes to the elders and says, this is what's going on. Will you pray for me? That's what it's saying. And it's particularly calling out the elders in the church. Now, the elders in the church are the leaders within the church. Now, fascinating thing, when you read through the apostles and they're established in the church, and all these letters in the New Testament are really written to churches by the apostles. And so what they would do, they'd go out and they'd start at all these churches. Every single one of them, they say the same thing. So if they say the same thing in every single one of them, you need to pay attention, right? And it says in every single one of them, appoint elders. Titus, I'm going to send you to Cyprus. So, Titus, you are to appoint elders. The elders have a position to lead the church per God. Every place, that's what he says. And so we're looking at this. And so these people, they've come up through the body that have been appointed out of the body. They've been appointed out of the body. He doesn't say, send an elder and you stay. Now, it does talk about preaching. He goes, no, there's elders within the body and you appoint them. Well, who put them in here? These are the questions you ask. Well, who put them there? God goes, I did. And it says, it's like, and there's a place in 1 Corinthians, it says, I've put the gifts in the church and you have all the gifts you need. Well, what do you mean? I mean just what I said. I brought this body together and they have all the gifts that they need. That church body. So you see God's divine hand moving in this. Now, what are we operating on? The first 4.5 chapters of James. Okay? We didn't just kind of make this up. Here. He says, here it is. So what's interesting here in this section, what pops out, you know, that we need to deal with, it's making it very clear. If you are sick, you are to call the elders. This is a family, and you see what the title is, it's about family health. So God is, I'm going to take care of y'all. And this is how it works. Now, here's something very interesting. So you call out the elders. So we're going to pay attention to what God says. Okay? Thus saith the Lord. So interesting. He said, I'm going to call the elders, and they're going to anoint you with oil. Yeah, pray for your sins. So what's interesting, that you look in the book of Corinthians, and it talks about people that, and I still think this is true, talk about people with the gift of healing. They have the gift of healing, and that God gives them a special anointing, and they pray for people, and people are healed. Okay? My question is, God, when you tell them, go to somebody with the gift of healing? He doesn't say. And I think that's just a real interesting, because he doesn't say it. Because he didn't mean to say it. Okay? This is something totally different. Well, not totally different, but he's given us a different point. He didn't tell us to go to find somebody had the gift of healing or go to some conference and some healing ministry. He didn't tell us to do it. He goes, go to the elders for healing. Go to the elders. The elders are anointing you with oil. Go to the elders. And I'm thinking, the other thing that you've, in the Bible, it has qualifications for elder. I mean, if you read that 1 Timothy and Titus, it tells you these are what they're qualified. And really addresses character issues, basically. But anyway, other things. And says, here's what you look for with elders. In Titus, Timothy, and other places, it never mentions, and I use the word never, mentions that an elder is to have the gift of healing. That's not a qualification. I mean, I think it's okay if you got it, but that's not the qualification. That's not what you're looking for. That's not what you're looking for. You know, I have a gift of healing. Praise Jesus. But I'm looking for more than that. See, look, God says, I'm looking for more than that, the elder. So, elders don't even, the healing gifts are not even a requirement for elders. Okay. However, now this is where something, the church, you know, the church body called out people, you know, that's who we are. And there's individual churches within the scripture. So God's dealing with individual churches that he's appointed, elders have been appointed to, which they're to pray for healing, but none of them have, you're required to have the gift of healing. But they're the ones you're supposed to. Now, here's what's happening here. And this is fascinating and really, really important. However, what we see here is that God, now pay close attention to what this is. What we see here is that God is recognizing that the office of elder carries with it positional authority. Where is the power? The power is in the position, the office of an elder, and whoever I call to put in it, I'll give them what's necessary. So, the office of elder carries the positional authority given by God to carry out the work that's necessary within the church. Amen? You with me? Now, this is not far out there. You think about it. And again, this is a poor example, but yet is an example. Think of some of our past presidents living. Okay, there's a bunch of them. You know, you can just go down the list. They're the past presidents. And did you know the past presidents don't have any power? In fact, they seem like they have less power than they had before they were president. You know, it's just like after they've gone, they're just fed up with them. We don't even want to hear from you again or something. But they don't have any power. None of them. They may write a book. It may not even sell. I mean, they don't have any power. Because it is the office of president that has the power. It's the office. The office has the power, and then the person steps into the office, and they can exercise the power that the office gives them. This is what God did with elders. Except God says, okay, I give you elders, and that's what they're supposed to do. I gave you an office, okay? And there's where the power. Now I'm going to ask somebody to step into it. It's like, whoa, Lord. In fact, when I ask guys to be elders, I usually tell them something like this. I said, things change, you know. Things change. It's kind of, God's hand, this is me talking, but I do tell them this. I say, because when you step in the position of elder, God's taking special notice, putting requirements on you, okay, that is innate to the office, but you're going to carry it out. And also, Satan takes note. And he'll put pressure on you because he understands the power of the office. And just be ready, because, you know, you may find more difficult things ever happen to you before. You go, why is this happening? Because you stepped into the office. So anyway, so this is the reason you call the elders. Well, they don't have to give hell, man. They just in there, and the Lord's going to work through them to do his healing, and the elders are representative in the church leadership to the body. And you're supposed to look at the elders as a representative of God in the body. And that's who is elders. Amen? Makes all the sense in the world when you look at it like that. The position carries the power. Now, that's the reason you look for, well, who's supposed to be an elder? I mean, God spent a lot of time, 1 Timothy, Titus, and Tetz. This is a character thing. And also, it tells you, like, we all mess up, right? It tells you how to handle an elder when he messes up. And guess what? He's harder on an elder messing up than someone in the congregation messing up. God is, okay? And he tells you how to deal with that. And so, but so the point of it is, the whole point of it is healing prayer. You're sick. Someone's in the family. The family is sick. There's someone that's healthy. Something's going on. And he goes, what do I do? He goes, you go to the elders and you ask them. You, congregate, ask them to pray for you. To pray for you. So if you look at Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:14, you see this power of the God has given the position of elder. You see this power carried out in 1 Timothy 4:14, just in general. Again, God appointed elders to be the head of a church, of the church. 1 Timothy 4:14, Paul is talking to Timothy. He said, hey, Timothy, do not neglect the gift you have, which was given to you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. How did Timothy get the gift? How did he get his calling? How was he known? Came to the council of elders. They laid hands on him and they prayed over him. This is what God's going to do with you. We pray God's blessing on you. We pray God's gift. This is what God's showing us, that you're the man that God chose. And he has authority. And the proof of it was the council of elders prayed over him. They discerned what God was doing with this young man. With this young man. So you have the whole thing. So with this positional, back to our scripture here. With this positional power of healing, elders are directed to anoint the sick with oil in the name of the Lord and pray over them. It's real clear. Now, so we're good up to this point. Amen. Well, I'm going to talk about anointing with oil. And it's, I'm one of these guys. God says, anoint. I said, okay, hey, gotcha. I don't have a clue why, but I'll do it, you know. But actually, God gives us a reason to, and that's what the good thing about Scripture. And what's interesting about it, too, I'll just give you a little insight. When you read up about it, what different people think, and theologians, they don't agree. Now, that just used to drive me crazy. Don't call yourself a theologian. You can't even agree on anything. But then I found out, well, gosh, I don't know what it is either. You know, so anyway, there's a disagreement here. And a lot of them said, well, it was meant for medicinal purposes, you know, to make people well, you know. So I have a bellyache and you're going to pour oil on my head. No. That's not what I'm talking about. It's not medicinal. No way is it. It's something totally different, whatever anointing this oil is. Now, God established the office, and so he said, okay, now you guys are in this office. Now, you pray. But when you pray, and I won't work through you just because I told you to do, and I'll anoint them with oil and pray. Okay? Why oil? Anointing with oil is an outward and physical perceptible sign of the spiritual power of prayer. It's actually a sign of the prayer. It's something you're doing where you can do it. As well, it's a sign of the authority of the one given during the praying. This is a step that you need to take. I'm showing you have authority to anoint with oil. And so you anoint with oil over the head, and then you pray, and that oil gave you authority to pray. You connected with the individual. That's what. If you notice, Jesus did the same thing with his disciples. If you look at Mark 6:13, it says this. And they kept the disciples, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. This is me reading it. Why didn't he say he just healed them? He had them and they just healed them. Well, he said, no, they anointed them with oil and healed them. Whatever. Okay. You know. And God goes, no, you don't understand what you just did. You don't. I had a reason for saying this. Now, so what we have here, and so pay attention to this, what we have here. The Bible reveals that anointing with oil has a symbolic but very real declaration of faith. It's symbolic, okay? You know, it's just have oil and you put it on their head and it smokes or something. Now, we're not doing that, okay? God is not saying that at all. So it's symbolic, but it's a very real declaration. You're making it, the elders are making a declaration. Even the person that has to be prayed for, they're making a declaration because they're allowing you to do it to them. Now, so when you look at this, the Bible gives us further understanding. The Bible is a commentary into itself. So you look, and it'll give you, as you read the whole thing, it gives you some understanding why you would anoint with oil. Now, here I'm going to give you two verses here. Well, a couple of verses here. Now, what we'll see to understand why God wants us to anoint with oil. And notice my vocabulary there. Why God wants us to anoint with oil. It's his idea. He said it. I want you to look at, well, I'll tell you, I don't have the overhead there. In Exodus, by the way, it's all through the scripture. I mean, it's all through the scripture, this. But there's a very insightful verse in Exodus 40, verses 14 through 15. And this is particularly is the New American Standard Bible, which is literal translation, great interpretation, but uses this specific word, which is helpful. So what you have in Exodus is Moses is anointing with oil those who would serve him as priests. So Moses says, you anoint all these priests, you got to anoint them with oil, and they'll serve with the priest. And the reason for anointing is clearly stated. Now, this is what God said to Moses. I mean, this is what God said to Moses. This is why you anoint them with oil. Their anointing will qualify them for the office. Hey, it won't be a priest. Okay. Pastor, what's the way to be a priest? I pray over them, and then you anoint them with oil. And when you anoint them with oil, the priest in the Old Testament, the anointing of oil proves that they're qualified to be a priest. It's just a stamp. You're qualified. I thought, okay, now that's interesting. Then you read in the New Testament, and first make a note here. The anointing with oil. We have a definition here of what anointing with oil is. Anointing with oil was to show that they were qualified. Now remember, the sick person is coming up. It's the sick person is qualified. Well, let's look at something here. It's fascinating. In the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 through 22. Now this is the NIV. Translation. Now, all these translations come from the original language. They just make, you know, write them so we can better English, so we can understand. The English language is changing, so we can just better understand it like how we talk today. So the NIV says this about anointing. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It says, God anointed us and set his seal of ownership on us. No. God anointed us and what? Set his seal of ownership on us. Anointing with oil was to show that God had ownership over them. I think, so what we have here, and I think it's really important, and then we kind of understand why we do this. We understand why we do this. When the elders anoint the sick with oil is part of their prayer, they are claiming before God that the sick person is owned by God and he is qualified for healing. You see that? You come in, anybody, you know, pray. Well, yeah, I pray for anybody and they come up. But when the elders and come to the mighty, it's a no, it's a prayer. I'm going to pray because you are God's child. You are owned by God. This is to the church. This is to the church. You're owned by God. And being owned by God, you're qualified. So when you anoint with the oil, you're saying all that. See what happened? You totally set the stage for healing. You're God's. You're qualified. Why wouldn't he heal you? Now, elders, you pray, because I'm going to do a work. And this is part of your prayer. I own them, and they're qualified. You pray for them. Whoa. Whoa. And so that's why it's important. Now, think about it. You think, well, that's interesting. It's like communion. It's just like communion. When we take communion, we take the wine and the bread. And you know what the Bible says? You take the wine and the bread, and it says you participate with Jesus' death. Well, it's just a cup of wine and a cracker. It's a physical thing. What does that have to do with Jesus? He goes, no. No, you take communion. He demands us to take communion. Because we take communion, that cracker, now that physical thing, that physical action, we participate with the death of Christ. You anoint with oil, and we participate. God uses it, and we're showing we participate with God, calling out this person's ownership, and they're qualified to be healed. It's important. Communion's important. Anointing with oil is important. Same thing. You see what I'm saying? Same thing. And by the way, when you go through script, this is repeated from the Old Testament all the way through the New multiple times. Okay. So we have this view. It's like, my goodness, the anointing with oil. The elders are declaring by faith in their prayer God's power to heal this person. Amen? All of a sudden, that's why you do it. Now it's like if I pray somebody, an elder won't come up, I'm like scared not to anoint you with oil. It's like, whoa, you know, I don't want to fall down on my part of this. You know, just that. So it's sure to be convicted about this. Now, next verse. We're all in the context, right? Next verse. It just doesn't lighten up. It just doesn't lighten up, okay? Next verse. We're going into it with what we already understand. James 5:15. Now, the elders are praying. Guys, elders, where's Greg? He should be here. Make sure he listens to the message. All right. Greg, he's the other elder. So, elders, he's saying to the elders, the prayer of faith. Oh, shoot. Whose faith is he talking about? The elders' faith. The prayer of faith will save. Now, this word save here is not salvation, it's save. The definition is make whole. Make whole. This is not a salvation verse, you know. It's not. It says, and the prayer of faith will make whole the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. I could have gone all day without that verse. You know, Lord, if we could just end it with 14, you know, and would have been good. But now it's like, what are you talking about? You add this in here. So there's a prayer. He said, now you pray a prayer of faith. I just can't do it like, God bless this meal and go. He said, no. It's a prayer of faith. Well, what do you mean a prayer of faith? I got to, you know, the elders has got to believe this. So the prayer of faith may call the sick person. He's the one who comes, hey, I want you to pray for me. And then the Lord says, and then I'll raise him up. Now, you know what? I like to be really honest with you, okay? You know what just drives me crazy? Me. I'm going to stand up here. What did God just say? Wallace? Now, I'm just personalizing. I don't want to put it on other guys. It's personal. Wallace, give a prayer of faith. One who's sick, God will raise him up. What happens when you pray? They, you know, feel better in 6 months. I mean, what does it say? What happens? I know what happens. Because I say, you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. It says, Wallace, if you do that, then the Lord will raise him up. I'm like two steps away from putting my whole arms around this. Are y'all with me? Because it doesn't say, did you notice in the original language, there isn't the word maybe. He didn't put, maybe something will happen. He goes, no, it'll happen. I'm kind of in the maybe, you know, like that. But that's not what he said. No, the Lord will raise him. So here's a picture of the verse. This is what the verse says. The picture is of the elders praying over a sick man in his bed and the Lord intervening to raise him up from that bed. That's what it means. The elders' prayer, now we're going to get in some detail right here. By the way, it's the elders, all you guys. Okay. It says the elders, because it says the prayer of faith, which if you read in it, you can have a prayer with no faith. So we're talking about a prayer of faith. The elders' prayer of faith is hearing God and then acting on what they heard. That's a prayer of faith. See, we have, and we've talked about this, we have in the New Testament, Abraham. What's Abraham's title, operational title? I'm kind of leading you on here. Man of faith. Every time Paul talks about faith, he talks about Abraham. Abraham's example. And so when you see in Hebrews, it looks at example. And so it says, Abraham, when he heard, he went. That's faith. So what is faith? Okay, so I have faith. You just grunt and sweat and work hard and that's not faith. Faith is you hear what God said and then you do what God says. That's faith. So a prayer of faith, you're praying over someone, what is it? God's going to tell you something and you're going to pray what God said. You know, all of a sudden I see when God comes over to pray, the prayer time might extend a little bit. You know, it might extend like, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? See, listen. When am I listening? I didn't know this guy needed prayer until he just came up and told to me. So I got to listen now to God and wait after I know him with oil. Say, Lord Jesus, what? So the guy said, and I'm asking him. I'm asking the prayer. He's got to tell me something then. Now the guy will tell me what he wants, you know. But the Lord says, you now listen to me, and I'll tell you how to pray. You know. Y'all with me? And so, the elder's prayer of faith, again, this is faith. Hearing, then acting. If you just hear and don't do anything, they have a name for that. It's disobedience. If you act with not hearing, you have another name for that. Presumption. He said, I don't want disobedience. I don't want presumption. I want you to hear, read something, and then do what I tell you, and that's called faith. Faith is not just thinking up something and doing it. See? We think, surely God will like this. So, what we have here, to pray in faith, we hear God, then we pray what God told us. Then God will do, what will God do? Then God will do what he told us. God, you're not doing nothing. I know, I ain't told you nothing yet. If I remember correctly, you didn't ask me. You see? So, we hear God. God's praying over this. Give me a word. Show me in the scriptures. Bring something to mind. Oh, Lord, please tell me something. The Lord will put something on our hearts. Move something, bring something to mind, speak to us in some way, and we hear. Okay, this is one. And then God does what he told us. See, and you can do that in a position of elder. Because if I just get somebody in there and listen to me, they won't have a lot going for them. But they listen to me, then I can use them. I can release all my power through them because they'll listen to me. Because this office has power. Office has power. Now, so what do we have here? Guys, we got here. Rich and Woods and Carlos. And again, next week, you see if Greg listens to this message. Because he'll tell you, he won't listen to it. And I hate to say this. The elders' faith is critical. Don't ever pray for someone and they don't get better and blame them. You didn't have enough faith. And God's going, no, Wallace, you didn't have any faith. They're doing just fine. They're doing fine. They came to you. And you know what's interesting when you read this? It doesn't say anything about the faith of the person coming. Not one word. Nothing about. Now, they did show faith by coming and asking you. So they have faith to come and ask you, and nothing happens, and you're going to blame them. I'm just telling you, I've been enough to watch enough healing ministries and stuff like that. I know they just didn't have faith to get healed. That's not how that works. That's not how that works. That how the word gets the pastors off the hook. These unfaithful people just quit asking me to pray for them. I'd be so much better. They say, no. You don't understand the position. You don't understand the office. And again, if I could just get somebody to listen to me in the office, we could do all sorts of things. See? So it's like, oh my goodness. So, we're not done. I mean, isn't it crazy? You just say, come up the elder, pray. I was doing it like I was doing dinner. Bless this food, God. Let's eat. You come and me pray for. I get a quick prayer. I get to lay hands, be healed like that. Go home. But this, you can see this prayer here is getting drawn out. This prayer here is getting kind of drawn out. The way you look at it, say, wait, God's all over this thing, and I got to get hooked up with God and see what he's saying about this. This poor person came up here and said, oh my gosh, they're really expecting something. They're expecting something, and something should be happening. Now, the office of elder. Not only, we're going to the next step. The Lord put it just like this, in connection with prayer. Not only, let me read the verse and then I'm going to go back to this, just so we can bring it in there. 5:15. And the prayer of faith will save, make whole the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he committed sins, he will be forgiven. Another reason the elders are called. Because what are elders called to do? Minister to, shepherd, and counsel. Help people along. You help them along in their walk. So not only are the elders asked to pray, but as leaders of the church, they're also required to minister to the person requesting prayer and give them counsel as needed. Elders have a ministry to the whole person. To the whole person. Hey, brother, what's happening? I'm going to pray for this. All right, we'll pray. We'll go before the Lord. And don't you know, go for it. What's going on in your life? Tell me what's happening. How'd you get here? What's going on? Anything else? What's been bothering you? You know, so there's a ministry to the whole person. Now, and you see here, it says, if he has committed sins, he'll be forgiven. How do you know that? You talk to me. You ask him. How things going? Where it's going? How's your life going? How the wife and the kids? How the stuff? You know, he's, hey man, I just had this headache. I just prayed for my head. I won't talk about this other stuff. He goes, no. Well, no. While you're here, God works in the whole man, and certainly we want you to feel better. What's going on in your life? What's happening? And if it comes out that there's some sin, that you'll be forgiven. There's no condemnation, but we need to know so we can pray for that and pray you be able to walk through that. See? And here's very interesting. And we've seen this. And you talk to pastors around the world, they've seen it. Sin may be, not always, sin may be the underlying reason for the illness. Very well. Maybe. All right. Now, pastors, and you know, you can read this and give everything. Pastors have witnessed healing take place when a person praying, seeing them heal, when the person confesses being resentful, the person just is carried down by carrying a grudge. These people are holding on to crippling unforgiveness. How many people have you seen that happen to? Whole life goes to hell in the handbasket. You know, it's hold on to unforgiveness. See? So I just, my life and it's hurting physically. All right. But what we need to talk about is unforgiveness. Go before the Lord. You've got to lay this thing at the altar. And a lot of times when they lay it at the altar, it comes up, they're released, and they physically improve. See, that's the reason that is here. Or it can be things like grief and stress. People can be hang in grief so long, it'll destroy them physically. Everybody here knows stress. After a while, you have stress. You're like, I can't do this anymore. See, and you're carrying that. Well, that's part of the ministry, and that's what needs to be taken care of for the healing to take place. And that's the reason. One of the reasons the elders are in place, because they're their responsibility. You should care about all those things and help people to walk through it. And so you want to hear and walk through them. That's life. So it's fascinating. And also, I think my prayer time keeps getting longer. You know, heal, brother. You know, it's like, no. You're not in the ballpark. You're not in a ballpark. See, dealing with sin may be the door to healing. It may be. I mean, if somebody's carrying unforgiveness, I don't care what you pray over them. They'll never get over it because that unforgiveness will always block them. And if you don't deal with the unforgiveness, which what they'll do before the Lord, putting it on the cross and being totally forgiven, and then they'll physically get better. See, but that's the reason it's put there like that. Now, we're kind of wrapping this up, but so what we have here, when we hear here, let's put this whole basket together. And again, you notice with each point, what Jay, it's like he's done everything else, which he's done with each point. There's a reason that he said it. You know, it's like prayer and faith. Whatever, I'll do that. Anoint with the oil. You got to be kidding me. I don't even have any oil. You know, well, you know. First of all, you're telling him and everybody else you're not prepared to do this. You know, and then Talk to them. How are they doing? You know, how's your life going? How can I walk with you in your particular situation? What's going on? See, all of a sudden, and you've asked the Lord to show you things. Show you things. God, that just, man, I don't know nothing. I don't have much power. He said, I know that. But you're in the office in which I've anointed all this power, and I'll work it through you because you're in the office. Talk to me, listen to me, and take care of the people I'm charged to you. Care for them. Care for the health of the family. Care. Now, again, important part, the elder's not going to everybody knock on the door and ask, hey, how's this happening? You don't want to pray for you. You know, it's like that. You don't want that to happen. I don't want to do that. However, what it is saying is the people within the body, I don't know what to do. Nobody's listening. Well, that's a sad situation. You should come to the elders because they're called to listen. As it says it right here, to do this, you got to listen to what's going on, you know. Don't say nothing to me. I'll pray to God, and he'll tell what's wrong and say, heal, and you go home. It don't work like that. It does not work like that. Again, it explains to you a lot of other junk that's going on so that we'll be aware of what's going on. So anyway, here we have, in context of healing, the primary purpose of these prayers is for the whole health of the individual and the church. It's to make the church healthy. And there's an interaction between the elders and the congregation, a family elder. See, a family-like interaction with the elders. And so, and it makes very clear in the next verse. See, God will not let you off. I mean, who am I talking? He will not let us off. Next verse, he just nails it. Okay? Again, you know what we talked about. Here's how he's going to end this. Put it in context. Therefore, James 5:16. Therefore, this is what you're supposed to do. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And all God's people said, amen. Now that verse, kind of sneaky one there, it definitely, the elders are still responsible, but he kind of pulled the congregation in. You know, it's like you're kind of responsible for each other. You need to talk to each other. You know, people come and say, you wouldn't believe what so-and-so's doing. I said, what are you telling me about so-and-so? Well, you talk to so-and-so. Don't pollute my mind. You know, God, you take care of that. See, I'm not supposed to go to them. They're supposed to come to me anyway. There's one good point. You see what I'm saying? There's a connection within the body, you know, like I said. Now, again, you know I'm being a little facetious. If you want to talk about something, what's happening, understand something, I totally understand that. But there's a responsibility to the body, to one another. That's one of the reasons we have small groups and stuff like that, because they become a different, a more intimate connection, okay? And let's face it, the more intimate connection, the more stuff you know. See? But again, there's no judgment. Absolutely no judgment here whatsoever. We're concerned that people are healthy, that they'll do well, that they'll be under the power of God and receiving the full power of God, you know. And so that's what we want to see. That's what we want to see because we care for them and we love them. See? There's not to be any judgment. God is concerned about the church family's health. That we may be healthy and whole. That they be healthy and whole. Okay. And I'm going to end this with Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. When you look at what it says in James, he keeps saying, pay attention to what I said in Proverbs 3, 7 and 8. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, turn away from evil, it will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. What is she saying? Do what I say. Do what I say. Okay, because I'm trying. I'm doing this. If you listen to me, I'm doing this. And if it's not working out, go to the elders, and they can't wait to pray over you and spend at least an hour, it looks like, doing everything, you know. But it's relational. You interact. It's relational. And all God's people said, amen. These are good sections. Read these, meditate on these, and say, dear Lord, okay. Because there's power in these verses. There's power in these verses. But we always got to do this. And then, and by the way, in this context, these are the people we pray for right here. I mean, the church family. And we got to remember where it all begins, you know. And it's 1 Corinthians 2:2. It said, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. See, that's what qualifies you. To have this discussion, be prayed for, and everything that you accept. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and in him crucified, and I'm forgiven. And you come, that's right. Anoint you with oil. He owns you, and you're qualified based on 1 Corinthians 2:2. Amen? Powerful. Powerful. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word, and we thank you for what you show us in your word. And Lord, it's true, it's so obvious. It is a power from you doing your work, and we're just to make ourselves available to you for you to do your work. And so we just give thanks to you. And God, you be our teacher. You work within our heart. You open things up to let us see. And Lord, we do want to see you show yourself strong among your people who love you. And so I pray a special protection on each person, and I pray that you will guide each person in a supernatural way. I say, you truly do have ownership of them, and they are qualified. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.